Hello and welcome to the I Can Do podcast with Benjamin Lee. We're here to talk about tips and strategies to have an I Can Do mindset. Life is what you put into it. Get the most you can. Here's your host, Benjamin Lee.
Because I was taking a physiology class, every month we had four quizzes that we had to take. 10 questions each quiz. You miss one, you're already at A minus, B plus. Now, the wise thing to do would be what? Take a quiz every week, right, Jerome? That's right. You know what I did? I took 4 in one day. It was the last day of the month where I took all 4. I was not prepared. When I walked into that classroom and took the first quiz and failed it, you had an opportunity to go back and get a second quiz to kind of have like a little redo. And that's where those prayers come in, praying for God to do something that you know He's not going to do, right? And I failed that quiz, or I'd get a C or a D, and I would take all 4 of those and leave utterly rejected, but I wasn't prepared. I had no one to blame except myself. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you know something is going to happen? You know there's a deadline. You know there's responsibility that you have, yet you are not prepared. It is one of the worst feelings, isn't it? But sometimes the way that we can act makes it look like that we really enjoy this kind of pain, living on the edge. There are certain elements in life, catching a flight, where we can redeem ourselves if we're late, or a quiz that we fail, we can do better the next time. Or maybe we are past due or past the notice of a bill or something like that, and we can fix that. But there's coming a day where if you are not prepared, if I am not prepared, there is no making it up. There is no second chance. There is no redo. There's only judgment. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the day of judgment. If you have your Bible, we open it up to Acts chapter 17. I want you to understand what the apostles believed about judgment, what even the angels believed about judgment day, what Jesus believes about judgment day, how foolish it will be for us to ignore what Paul, Peter, angels, and even Jesus has to say about judgment day and preparation. Paul is preaching in Athens in Acts chapter 17. We're going to hear the conclusion of his sermon, his invitation to his audience at that time in verse number 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. That includes you and me today, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man, that's talking about Jesus, whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. Do you want to know why you need to study the resurrection of Jesus? Why we should believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Because it is proof that one day He will return, that judgment day is going to take place. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, "We shall hear you again concerning this." Some mocked, some said maybe, a few said must. Make no mistake about it, you can ignore the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we will all bow on our knees before Him when He returns in judgment, according to Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 reminds us that there is coming a day. This day is fixed. We don't know the day or the hour. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10. There were some who were mocking Christians in the first century. Don't be surprised when people mock you today. Don't be surprised when relationships are severed because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Peter reminded the saints, the Lord, in verse 9, is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You never have to question whether or not God is love, because he wishes that no one will perish. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. This is that fixed day in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. All will be destroyed. No one will be left behind on earth. Don't have any hope or optimism about some kind of rapture where you can get maybe another 7 years on earth to kind of have that redo. No, when Jesus returns, the earth and all of its elements are going to be destroyed. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? We need to be people that are prepared, people that are holy, people that are prepared for the return of Jesus. The angels in Acts chapter 1, verses 9, 10, 11, as they spoke to the apostles after the apostles worshiped Jesus, saw him ascend up into heaven, according to Luke chapter 24, gazed into heaven, these men who I believe were angels, in verse number 10, as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, the two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Jesus is going to return one day. Jesus himself says this. He makes it clear that, yes, he is going away, but we will be with him one day. In John chapter 14, the context is with the apostles. In John chapter 14, he's telling the apostles in verse number 1, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." It doesn't matter how long it's been since Jesus has ascended into heaven. We never have to question whether or not he's going to return. Whether it's in 2023, 2099, it doesn't matter. His promises always come to pass. He will return. The question is, are we prepared for that return? There's a parable where Jesus emphasizes preparation, faithfulness, watching, being on the alert. Is that the kind of people we are? We're going to be challenged with this parable in Matthew chapter 25. Will you turn over there? Jesus began speaking in parables. We have a number of clusters of parables going back to Matthew chapter 13. Then as we get into Matthew chapter 24 and 25, we find another set of parables. And if I'm being honest, they're a little frightening. Because Jesus doesn't hold anything back. The more I study this, the more I think about this. He doesn't hold one thing back. You better be prepared. We better be ready. He emphasizes this idea of preparation. He talks about the kingdom of heaven. These are stories that are laid beside different truths that we need to consider and think about. And this parable in particular, the parable of the 10 virgins, is a great reminder about whether or not we are going to be wise Christians or foolish Christians who are not prepared for the return of Jesus. This story here should grab your attention, should cause us to think and to contemplate, how prepared am I? If you're not a Christian, if you're thinking about Jesus Christ, who is this man named Jesus? Did the resurrection really take place? I urge you today to drop everything else and to take the time to consider Jesus. Because you need to be prepared. He is coming back one day. Will you read this with me? And I want you to notice some things about this parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. It comes in a place where Jesus is already emphasizing preparation. Going back to Matthew chapter 24, in verse number 44, he says, "For this reason you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions." What's Jesus going to see us doing when he returns? Are we the type of person that when no one is looking, that's when we kind of slack off a little bit more? And then when someone comes into the room or they check up on us, we start picking up the pace a little bit more? Don't forget, God sees everything that we do. In verse 48, "But if that evil slave says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him." A lot of time has passed and this slave is just kind of coasting, taking it easy. But then his master shows up and now he's in trouble. And the master will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour which he does not know, and will cut him, listen to this language, will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not the parable of the 10 virgins, but it's setting it up. He goes into it next in chapter 25 in verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were prudent." Lots of different thoughts about marriage and what took place here with the wedding and the feast and things like that. I'll just read one thought from a commentary here. It says, "Among the Jews in biblical times, a betrothal took place first, and then after an interval of several months, the marriage would be consummated at a wedding feast. When the wedding time came, there would usually be a procession of some sort where the bridegroom and his friends would go and bring the bride and her attendants to the house of the groom. All other friends waited near the groom's home to welcome the bride and the groom, and then to join in the marriage procession." There may be some additional thoughts out there. I know there's a lot of different views out there, but one thing that we can see is that these women, these virgins, are waiting for the bridegroom, a little bit different than how we do it today. And we also see immediately that there are two groups out of this 10. Five that are wise, and five that are foolish. You think about this idea and this category of those who are wise or foolish. We can say that five of them were faithful and five were unfaithful. And we can say with respect to these individuals that five were prepared and five were not prepared. Let's look at the rest of the text. Verse 3, "For when the foolish took their lamp..." So this is taking place at night. "They took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps." So we see immediately the preparation, at least by the ones who are wise, and the ones who are not prepared. We see in verse number 5, "Now while the bridegroom was delaying..." So there's another delay that's taken place. All 10 of them are waiting. "They all got drowsy and began to sleep." Anyone feeling drowsy this morning? Bear with me a few more minutes, all right? Hang on with me now. Hopefully you got your coffee, okay? But they got a little bit tired, and they fell asleep. All of them fell asleep, by the way. But at midnight, there was a shout. "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Is that good news or bad news? That's all good. This is what they had been preparing. This is why they were there. Their bridegroom is here. Let's go. And they wake up at midnight, but keep on reading. Verse 7. "Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" So now we get to see a little bit more. Lamps or torches, depending on translations, the foolish ones, they have run out of oil. The oil that they would need to keep the lamps burning bright or those torches burning bright, they needed help and they asked for extra oil. That seems like a fair response or a fair request. After all 10 of them are there. I'm sure they've been talking at some point in time. They probably all know each other's names. They all fell asleep together. But notice what happens. The prudent in verse 9 answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the rulers and buy some for yourselves." So they get a no. And this has nothing to do with the golden rule, okay? This has everything to do about preparation. The five who are wise and prudent, they said, "Hey, you guys run down to the store, but there's a problem here. Not even Amazon Prime are going to be able to help these five women, all right? They're running out of time. They're not prepared." And so now they got to hurry. Now they're in a rush. Don't you hate that feeling? Like walking to that classroom on the University of Illinois campus. I know I'm not prepared, but I got to go there anyway. And that's what they do. They were going away, verse 10, to make the purchase. The bridegroom came. You snooze, you lose. The bridegroom now has shown up. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut. Finality. There is no getting in. The bridegroom is now here. But those five foolish virgins came back. Later, the other virgins also came. Don't you hate being late? Being that guy or that woman when everyone else is prepared, but you are not. No time integrity there, huh? Notice what they cried out. "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." Now they've gotten two no's. This last statement is even more piercing than the first. The bridegroom says to them, "I don't know who you are." Verse 13. Sums it up. "Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." What do you think about that story? Does any of it sound familiar with what else Jesus taught in the book of Matthew? Remember back in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21 in the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. What did Jesus say towards the end of his sermon there? He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." I think this has given us some insight what this parable is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about preparation, about judgment that is to come, about entrance. "But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you.' Four sad words. 'Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" These five foolish, unprepared, unfaithful virgins teach us a great deal that we need to learn. As you think about this story here, why were they not able to enter? Think about this for a few seconds here. Number one, maybe some of you were thinking about this. Wait a second. This whole story doesn't seem fair at all. Did that cross your mind at all? This story doesn't seem fair at all. Some are saying, "No, that never crossed my mind." But for some, they may be saying, "Well, yeah. It seems a little harsh. Consider the facts. Look back in your Bible and consider the evidence. Number one, they were virgins. They were pure. They are seeking to do something that is right and acceptable in the eyes of God. We have to give them credit for that, right? Number two, when you think about this story here with these five women who are described as being foolish, they had been invited by the bridegroom. Not everybody gets an invite to weddings, but they had been invited along with the other five. They had been a part of this celebration that was to take place. Number three, they did have their lamps. I mean, can we not give them credit for that? They were somewhat prepared. They had lamps and they had oil and they were there at least on time initially, right? What about this? They were initially on time. All of those are true. Yet what is also true is what the bridegroom said to them. He said to them, "I do not know you." What is also true is that they were not fully prepared. And as you think about this story here, there is something very clear and obvious. Lack of preparation. This is something that should grab our attention. Brothers and sisters, they were not faithful. And I think this parable and the one before it is giving us some insight about faithfulness in the eyes of God. About faithfulness, about doing the will of God. You go back to Matthew chapter 4 with that servant and the master and faithfulness. Is God finding us? Is he going to find us doing what he says we are to do? As Christians, that is something that we're supposed to be all about. We are supposed to be doing and be doers, not just merely hearers of the word. Now here in Matthew chapter 25, we also see something else when it comes to our faithfulness or our loyalty to God and to Jesus Christ. It is about being prepared and staying prepared, about making sure that we are ready at all times for the return of Jesus. These five, while they had a lot of great things initially that we could compliment them about, in the process of time, they still were unfaithful, foolish, not prepared. They did not follow through the way that they should have followed through. Yes, they had been invited by the bridegroom. Yes, they were a part of this ten, but they still failed to hit the mark. Their lamps slowly dimmed out. Their fire slowly went out. Has that happened to us? We know all about Jesus, this bridegroom. Maybe we were on fire when we obeyed the gospel. But there's been a delay. He still hasn't returned. Life happens. Suffering. Disappointment. Rejection. Marital problems. Loneliness. Has your lamp burned out? Are we still just as prepared as we were initially? There are some traps for every one of us that we really need to think about. I believe what Jesus is helping us to see is that we need to be prepared as his people, that judgment day is coming. If we are going to be with him in heaven, there are some things that we need to remember about being prepared and about being faithful. Think about the songs that we sang this morning. Is it possible for us to miss heaven? Yes, it is. Now the great news is we get to decide, are we going to be a part of the wise or are we going to be a part of the foolish? The choice is yours, isn't it? The choice is mine. But make sure you spend a lot of time on that choice. It is a daily choice, and it is something that we need to remember. Notice what Jesus is emphasizing in verse 13. Be on the alert then. For you do not know the day nor the hour. How seriously do we take alerts in our lives? Are you that guy or that woman when your Apple phone goes off at 6 a.m. and you hit that, you know, you've got two buttons there, snooze or stop? The stop is such a mean button at 6 a.m., isn't it? You just hit that snooze button a couple of times. Or maybe you get that email from your physician, it's time for that physical. It's time for that EKG. It's time for that exam. You just push it down the road. What do we do with our warnings, our deadlines? Do we dismiss our annual health checkups, our due dates, and our bills? Now, make no mistake about it, more often than not, consequences will come when we do. Maybe not super big or life-threatening, but sometimes it can be. Sometimes we wait too late to find out that we have some kind of disease that maybe could have been avoided if we went in and got checked. Or maybe we could have avoided some other painful moments in our lives with our careers or relationships if we took the warnings and things that we saw right in front of us seriously. Well, we could do all those things. But if there is one thing and one warning not to dismiss, not to hit the snooze button, not to ignore, not to swipe away, it is the day of judgment. That day is coming. Jesus is reminding us about this coming day. Be prepared. How might we miss heaven? There's some things that we can do. There are mindsets that we can have that can cause us to initially be prepared, but then fail to hit the mark. Number one, by not taking God's word seriously. What are we doing with all of this? 66 books from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, revelation from God. People talk about and complain about if they could just hear from God and they miss what God has given them right in front of their faces. Warning after warning after warning. He's coming back one day. It's like the same warning with death. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when our last breath will be taken. We can fall into a state of apathy, a state of laziness, a state of comfort, and just kind of cruise on along. And then we become shocked when something happens. Maybe we meditate on 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, we talk about this with respect to talking to those who are lost. But we also need to remember this for ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Think about that moment. What an awesome day that's going to be, if we're ready. Because when the bridegroom came at midnight, that would have been an exciting time for the five who were wise. But one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Do we take that seriously? Or do we push that down the road? Got plenty of time. Just because there is some kind of delay according to our perspective, 2 Peter chapter 3 reminds us, listen, it doesn't matter if there is a delay. It doesn't matter if it's 1,000 years or 2,000 years or whenever Jesus decides to return, He is going to return. In our short span of life, we need to make sure that we are ready when that happens or when the day of our death comes. He's not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Peter used the example of the flood in the beginning in Genesis chapter 6. Yes, that happened. Yes, it was a worldwide flood. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And 8 souls were saved. Do not ignore what God has warned us in His word. But we can think and ignore these warnings, and that's where we're going to get in trouble. Secondly, how might we miss heaven? By thinking we can be saved by the faith of others. Young people, this is something important for you, but for wives and for husbands, for all of us, young and old alike, there is no group salvation. What I mean by that is you cannot rely upon your friends or your parents or your preacher or elders or your fellow peers at your camps that you go to every summer to think, well, they have their faith and I can just kind of hold on to them and make it into heaven with them. No, all of us need our shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 verse number 11 reminds us, you put on the full armor of God Husbands and wives, you put on the full armor of God. Your wife may not be obedient. Your husband may not be obedient. But that's not going to be an excuse when you sit or stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Your father or mother may not be a Christian, but all of us are going to have to give an account. And we just can't ride on the coattails of someone else and think, hey, I'm good. I show up every week at West Main. I hear the sermon, but I don't really listen to the sermon. But I am around a lot of other Christian people who are godly, although I don't often listen to their godly wisdom. Put on the full armor of God. You'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Verse 16, you take up the shield of faith. All of us must be having our own shield of faith. No group salvation. Just because you can be around other individuals. Those five foolish virgins were around five who were wise. How did that work out for them? You and I must be responsible. Take up your shield of faith. Are you trying to get to heaven through someone else? It's not going to work like that. Salvation is only found in Jesus. Thirdly, you want to know how you might be able to miss out? Surrounding ourselves with the wrong people. I don't know what the number is, but you know how people talk about you are, like with the four or five people who you surround yourself with. I find that interesting, right? You had the five who were wise and the five who were foolish. Be careful who you associate with. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is being written primarily to older Christians, although we do share this with our younger brethren and young people in general. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. In the context, there were those who were denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no resurrection, or denying the resurrection of the dead. There is no resurrection. There are a lot of people today who deny the resurrection of Jesus. You better be careful who you associate with. You better be careful who you tie yourself together or unite yourself together with or yoke yourself together with. Bad company corrupts good morals. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter. There's danger. Here's a warning. Alert, alert, alert. But do we actually listen to this warning? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 17 and verse number 18 reminds us, Peter is already talking about judgment day. He's already talking about the return of Jesus. He's already been talking about holy conduct. He's already talked about the promises of God. Then at the end of his letter, before he is going to soon, shortly die, in verse 17, he says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. One can fall away. One can become disqualified. One can lose their salvation. Be on guard, brother. Be on guard, sister. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. How did those five virgins miss out? They weren't prepared. They weren't thinking past their nose. They weren't thinking about the bigger picture. What kind of people will we be? We're not earning our salvation as we watch and wait. We're waiting because that's who we are called to be. That's just who we are. We are people who wait. What's sad about the story in Matthew chapter 25 is that it didn't have to happen. So many great things with these five virgins. They had their lamps. They had some oil. They had been invited. They had been waiting. And what a sad day that would be for us, because we were not prepared. It's interesting how you have these two groups of people, the slave who's beating other people in Matthew 24, and now these five foolish virgins who are all going to end up in the same place. shut out, weeping with gnashing and teeth. What's sad are the words that are uttered, I do not know you. The Lord knows who are His, according to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. And if we are His, then we will be people of faith, people of preparation, people who are waiting and watching, anxiously waiting and watching, not in fear, but in great joy for when the bridegroom returns. So my last question, thank you for your attention this morning, is what group are you in this morning? Let's be honest with ourselves. Have we been wise or have we been foolish? Just because we have done a lot of quote unquote great things does not mean we just kind of coast along. We're unprofitable servants even after we do the will of God. Luke 17 and verse number 10. Do we stay prepared and stay connected to our Father in heaven? If you can't answer that with a yes, if you have some questions or some doubts, now is your day. As Brother Dan said, tomorrow is not promised. Rejoice in today, because today is a day of mercy. Today is a day of hope. Today is a day of forgiveness. Today is a day of salvation. But don't let the devil whisper or influence you into thinking, I got plenty of time. You may end up just like those five foolish virgins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're in need of salvation, now is your opportunity. If you're in need for a wake-up call, come to the front. Ask for prayers. Let's wake up together. Let's encourage each other so that we can be wise and prudent, faithful, loyal, and prepared.
Once again, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. If you are in the need or are looking for more motivation in your life, feel free to check out my website, benjaminlee.blog, where you can find hundreds of encouraging, motivational blog posts on a variety of subjects. You can find all of my books, which can also be found on amazon.com, and other podcast interviews with a variety of people. I hope this helps. Please leave me a rating and a review. I can do, and so can you. Take care, and God bless.